At least seven are dead and several missing after a passenger boat catches fire near Real Quezon. Congressman Boying Remulla will be the new Justice Secretary under the Marcos administration. Congressman Remulla will join us later on in the program. A lawmaker says the planned economic stimulus package of the incoming Marcos administration expected to face funding issues. And Ukraine rules out any territorial concessions to Russia. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. For joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with a tragedy off the waters of Quezon Province. At least seven people dead after a fire broke out on a passenger vessel. MV Mercraft 2 was carrying 124 passengers and 10 crew members when it left Polillo Island around 5 this morning. It then caught fire as it was approaching the port of Real. 120 people have been rescued so far. Search and rescue operations are ongoing for the seven people who remain missing. An investigation into the cause of the fire, that's also underway. Well, for more on this tragic boat fire, we're now joined by Mini Portales. She's a spokesperson for the local government unit on this incident. Good afternoon, Ms. Portales. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ma'am Carmina.
So what do we know so far regarding this tragedy off the waters of Polillo?
Our local chief executive, Mayor Diana Abigail Quezo Aquino, is having a meeting right now with the incident command system. What we did, Ma'am Carmina, is we organized the incident command system so that it will become an efficient and effective response. So far, we have an updated information that we have 134 passengers and crew in the aircraft. And out of the 134, we have 103 survivors, 24 injured, and 7 casualties. Out of the 7 casualties, we have 5 female and we have 2 male. At this point in time, the 24 injured are being treated at Claro Emerito Hospital to be transported to Quezon Memorial Medical Center. Our mayor were able to coordinate already with the governor, Danny Suarez, so that all the patients that will be coming from Real Quezon because of the aircraft incident will be treated immediately at Lucena City. So at this point in time, the municipality of Real Quezon together with municipality of Infanta and General Nacar Quezon with MPRRMO are working together. So the first responder is our MPRRMO from Real Quezon, and all the ambulance coming from Infanta General Nacar and Real Quezon work together so that these patients will be treated immediately at Claro Emerito Hospital.
Ms. Portales, so there are no more missing passengers, am I correct?
At this point in time, we are looking into the 103 survivors, 24 injured, and 7 casualties. Yes, that's around 134.
Right. So
the captain of the boat is undergoing treatment right now at Claro Emerito Hospital to be transported to Lucena City.
Yeah, I understand that, Ms. Portales, because a while ago we just reported that there were still missing passengers. But now that with the updated figures, you're telling us that there are no more missing passengers.
Yeah.
You were able to recover.
Yes. Yeah, I think the concern now of the passengers is that some of the relatives that they travel, we have this help desk. We set up a help desk at the port of Rian so that we'll be able to coordinate at the hospital. At the same time, those who are treated with minor injuries so that they will be able to know where their relatives are so that they will be assured. The other thing that the local chief executive, our mayor, did is to provide transportation for the passengers going to Manila and going to Rizal and Laguna so that the member of the family of those survivors will be assured that they are in good condition.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, we are providing food, providing blankets, clothing, sleepers, as well as the medical team is on top of the situation doing the treatment for minor injuries.
All right. So, Ms. Portales, accounted for na po itong mga pasahero.
Yes, yes. Yes po. Yes.
Ito'y nakabase na sa passenger manifesto.
Yes po, sa manifesto.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, meron na ho ba kayong initial findings kung paano nagsimula itong sunog?
Doon po sa mga survivor that we have interviewed, nagsimula daw po yung fire doon sa makina, sa ibaba, and then umakyat daw po sa taas, and then doon na po nag-start yung sunog doon sa lansya. Mm-hmm. Ngayon po, at this point in time, it's already fire out. It's in the island, Baluti Island, already, and this is being investigated by the Philippine Coast Guard.
At itong,
what really happened.
At itong MV Mercraft 2, ito po yung boat, no, na lula nitong mga 134 passengers. Meron na ho ba kayong initial findings if they had enough life vests on that boat na nakatulong din sa pagsalba nitong mga pasahero?
Yes po. Hindi po bumibiyahe because of the incidents that they had last 2017. They are very careful in terms of providing life vests and in terms of the safety protocol. So, pagka bumibiyahe po sila ay enough yung kanilang life vest na ginagamit because they have already experienced in 2017 na nagkaroon po yung paglubog yung isa rin nilang lansya, yung Mercraft.
Itong Mercraft, ilan po ba yung mga sasakyan pa na nasa fleet nila?
Ang pagkakaalam ko po, tatlo yan. May Mercraft 1, Mercraft 2. Mm-mm. Tapos yan po yung inilaunch nila. Yan pong inilaunch nila ay dati na nila yan. Mas maliit po yan doon sa lumubog noong 2017.
Mm-mm. Is it also part of the call of the LGU to sort of ground these boats first until the investigation is done?
Yes.
Kasi po, kung because maintenance po ang problema, baka may problema din sa maintenance ng iba pa pong mga barko.
Yes po. Ang marina po ang siyang nag-in-charge together with the Philippine Coast Guard pagdating po sa safety protocol.
Mm. All right. So, yung mga survivors po, as you said, and yung mga injured, they're all well taken care of. Sino po ang sasagot nung mga pangtustos po dun sa mga pangangailangan itong mga pasahero?
Initially, sinasagot po ito ngayon ng LGU Real, yung mga treatment at saka po yung pag-transport sa mga hospital. And ito pong may may-ari ng Mercraft ay will be coordinated by the LGU para po sila naman yung sasagot doon sa other expenses na kakailangan.
Okay.
Including po itong mga casualty, yung 7 casualty. Mm. They will be responsible for that. Yun po yung kanilang ginawa noong 2017.
All right, we're going
because
to
I think this is part of the insurance as well.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. Mini Portales there, the spokesperson for Real Quezon. Thank you so much for joining us, Ms. Portales. Take care and you keep safe.
Thank you very much, Ma'am Carmina. Thank you very
Ingat
much.
Po. Right, Philippine lawmaker Boying Remulla has accepted an offer to be Justice Secretary of the incoming Marcos administration. Remulla says he has enjoyed a close relationship with leading presidential Bedford and Marcos Jr. since 2007, but he asserts he did not ask for the cabinet position. Remulla would have to give up his post as Cavite's 7th District Representative after winning his re-election bid in the recent polls. He says a special elections might be held once he vacates his congressional seat. Remulla made headlines during the campaign period when he accused the camp of Marcos's rival, Vice President Lenny Robredo, of paying and hauling supporters to a campaign rally in Cavite. Meanwhile, Marcos's spokesperson, Attorney Vic Rodriguez, has been tapped to become the next executive secretary. In a statement, Rodriguez thanked Marcos for his trust and confidence. Hundreds of ballot boxes containing the votes for president and vice president have arrived at the House of Representatives. Our correspondent Anna Cerezo filed this report.
Congress is gearing up for the canvassing of votes for the country's next president and vice president. Today's preparations kicked off with a safe transfer of over 600 ballot boxes from the Senate to the House of Representatives this morning. The documents arrived shortly before 5 a.m. Officials began loading the ballot boxes past midnight. They first loaded the certificates of canvass. Officials distributed the 167 ballot boxes containing the said documents into two trucks. Meanwhile, the 441 ballot boxes containing election returns was divided into five trucks. According to the Sergeant at Arms, the convoy to the House of Representatives consisted of 19 vehicles deployed by AFP, which included two armored vehicles as well as eight motorcycle escorts and a mobile patrol from PNP. Based on the latest tally, the Senate has received 90.17% or 156 out of the 173 certificates of canvass. The Senate will continue receiving the remaining COCs from areas in Mindanao and diplomatic Philippine posts on Tuesday, May 24. Senators and congressmen are also scheduled on the 24th to convene and begin canvassing the votes for the next president and vice president of the Philippines.
We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, Ukraine rules out any territorial concessions as Russia steps up attacks across the country. Details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. And we are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. At least seven are dead after a passenger boat catches fire near Rial in Quezon. Congressman Boying Remulla will be the new Justice Secretary under the Marcos administration. A lawmaker says the planned economic stimulus package of the incoming Marcos administration expected to face funding issues. And Ukraine rules out any territorial concessions to Russia. Back with more news, the ambassadors of India and Japan paid courtesy visits on leading presidential candidate Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Katrina Domingo now joins us with details. Kat, over to you.
Hi, Carmina. Actually, there are four diplomats who visited incoming President Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr. in his headquarters here in Mandaluyong City earlier today. Japanese Ambassador Kashikawa Kazuhiko was first to meet the president-elect, followed by South Korean Ambassador Kim In-chul, Indian Ambassador Shambhu Kumaran, and right now we still have no word whether or not the meeting with U.S. Chargé d'Affaires Heather Varillava is already ongoing or if it has already concluded upstairs. Now, Carmina, the ambassadors from Japan and from South Korea have declined to grant interviews with the media. But according to the ambassador from India, he says Chinese incursions in parts of the South China Sea and along the Sino-Indian border were not brought up during his meeting with Marcos. He says he simply conveyed a letter of congratulations from Prime Minister Narendra Modi and that their discussions basically focused on bilateral relationships and that they did not have any mention, that they did not mention any word about Chinese-related issues in the discussion earlier today. Carmina, China has been claiming parts of the West Philippine Sea, as we all know, and at the same time, also portions of land along its 3,000-kilometer border with India. Now, in a phone call, just a context for our viewers, Carmina, in a phone call with Chinese President Xi Jinping last week, Marcos said that China and the Philippines must not allow what conflict or difficulties we have now between our two countries to become historically important. So Marcos has yet to clarify on how this would affect claims of incursions and abuses of Chinese fishermen and even officials in the South China Sea. Now, Carmina, despite the non-mention of China during the meeting, Kumaira noted that India would still like to work with the Philippines towards capacity building and capability development of the armed forces of the Philippines. He says that they have worked closely with the AFP and the Department of National Defense, and that they look forward to take this partnership or rather to continue this partnership under the new administration. Again, Carmina, just the context for our viewers, India and the Philippines signed a contract for Manila's acquisition of the BrahMos missile system earlier this year, which involves the supply of an onshore anti-ship missile system to the Philippine Navy. He says he has also brought up the successes of digital governance in India, as he seeks Marcos's continued support for the development of the excellent bilateral relations between India and the Philippines. Another important thing to note during the meeting between Marcos and the Indian ambassador is that he mentioned that Marcos is actually was very keen to see domestic manufacturing or pharmaceutical products, and that Indian companies are looking forward to a strong engagement. Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Katrina Domingo there joining us on the line. Take care, Kat. Keep safe. Back here in the newsroom. Ukraine rules out any territorial concessions as Russia steps up attacks on the eastern and southern parts of the country. Ukraine's lead negotiator also rejecting calls for an immediate ceasefire, since that means Russian troops would stay in occupied territories. After gaining full control of Mariupol, Moscow is now focused on securing and expanding its gains in the Donbas region and Ukraine's southern coast. Kyiv, meanwhile, has launched a diplomatic counteroffensive at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky is set to hold a video conference Monday to mark the opening of a forum for Kyiv and its international backers. Russian firms and officials have been cut from this year's event. The war in Ukraine also looming large as the World Health Organization opens its main annual assembly in Geneva. It's the first time the WHO is convening its 194 member states for a largely in-person gathering since the pandemic began. Decisions are expected on a range of important issues, including reforms towards pandemic preparedness. Also on the agenda, a resolution to be presented by Ukraine harshly condemning Russia's invasion and its attacks on hospitals and other healthcare targets. The resolution will also highlight the dire impacts of the war beyond Ukraine's borders, including how it has affected the global food security crisis. Shanghai reopens 4 subway routes and 273 bus lines Sunday, in line with a gradual easing of COVID restrictions. Some of the reopened transport lines were linked to downtown areas as well as airports and hospitals. Before using public transport, passengers are required to present a QR code and a negative test result taken within 48 hours. The city reported 52 more confirmed locally transmitted COVID-19 cases Saturday, keeping the number of daily new cases in double digits for 7 consecutive days. The Philippines logged 191 new COVID cases Sunday, a day after fresh infections hit their highest number since May 1st at 246. Professor Jomar Rabahante of the University of the Philippines' COVID-19 pandemic response team says the country will continue to see a slight increase in cases due to waning vaccine immunity. He urges local government units to continue their monitoring and surveillance efforts to prevent bigger outbreaks.
Most of the Filipino people got their first 2 shots prior to December 2021. It's already May. We're going to June. It's around 6 months already. And only few people, around 3.9 million, got their first booster shot. So, and mostly they got this first booster shot around January, February 2022. So for the next third or fourth quarter of 2022, we might see, people getting sick. However, this increase in cases may not be detected because one of the reasons is only the severe and critical, symptomatic people are being targeted for detection.
A government advisor believes the second booster shot should be expanded to more groups. Dr. Ted Herbosa says the Philippines should use vaccines that are about to expire on those who want them. He adds expanding the eligibility for the fourth dose is important following the detection of Omicron subvariants here in the Philippines.
I think we should open up the second booster for more than 6 months, the way the US CDC has done. In fact, many groups have been calling for that. The group of Mr. Joey Concepcion, the presidential advisor for entrepreneurship, because he's trying to protect the businesses and the industry. We need to protect the workers also that's moving around. Yeah. So he's saying, why not give them, the frontline workers as well, their second booster?
For a presidential advisor, COVID alert levels in the country should not be raised despite the threats of Omicron subvariants. Secretary Joey Concepcion believes expanding the COVID booster coverage is key to ensuring the health and safety of the public. He warns reimposing strict protocols make that strict COVID protocols will just hurt the economy.
Ang economy natin is doing very well now, no? At kailangan sumiglat to kasi yung kailangan natin dito is job generation. Yung mga wage increases na 33 pesos, okay lang yan. Pero kung magsisirado tayo ulit kasi tataas yung mga alert level from alert level 1 to 2 or even 3, then halos yung mga maliit na negosyante na maarangkada na, syempre mawawala ang kumpiyansa, pati yung mga banko na sila nagpapautang ulit sa mga MSMEs. Huwag natin itaas yung alert levels natin. No? Kahit tumaas yung infection level, kahit thousands yan, pero yung hospital capacity natin ay talagang mababa pa rin. Dapat tuloy-tuloy pa rin itong alert level 1, mm-hmm. no? Katulad sa ibang bansa.
More countries detect cases of the monkeypox virus. Israel and Switzerland have each identified one infected person who recently traveled abroad. Austria also confirmed its first monkeypox case, a male patient with symptoms of fever and skin lesions. Nearly 100 monkeypox cases have been detected in the recent outbreak in Europe, the U.S., Canada, and Australia. While the virus isn't considered to be fatal, even experts have been caught off guard by how fast it has spread. The World Health Organization expects more infections to emerge.
Well, monkeypox virus is a virus that we know quite well, which is usually self-limiting in nature, difficult and slowly to transmit. The question here is to clarify why we see so many cases coming now in Europe without a travel history, with a bit more human-to-human transmission. But again, this is not COVID-19, this is not smallpox. It's usually a geopolitically rare, not severe disease.
I'm going to take another break. Still ahead, the Philippines finishes fourth overall in the 31st Southeast Asian Games. Stateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. Back with more news, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. congratulates the winning senators from this year's elections. In a vlog released Sunday, he continued his call for unity as he urged them to leave politicking behind. Six of the winners from the Senate race came from Marcos's slate. Others ran as independent candidates, while only one opposition bet got in the Magic 12.
Wala nang kulay politika mula sa puntong ito at nakakasiguro kami na ang layunin naman ng lahat ng nahalal na senador ay para sa ikagaganda at ikabubuti ng ating bansa. Kaya't congratulations sa inyong lahat.
Marcos also mentioned some of his priorities once he officially begins his term as the Philippines' next president. He also assured the public his cabinet will be finalized soon.
Bagamat wala pa namang opisyal na proklamasyon sa ating pagkapangulo, ay sinisimula na natin ang proseso na pagpili sa mga tingin natin ay may kakayahang mamuno sa ating mga departamento. Hindi ito madali dahil kailangan maging masusi ang ating pagkilatis at lalong hindi naman dapat ito minamadali. Maasa po kayo na ang kapakanan ng OFW at ng mga pamilya nila dito ay magiging prioridad sa ating mga pinaplanong programa.
The planned economic stimulus package of the incoming Marcos administration seemed to face funding issues. Albay Representative Edsel Lagman says the Duterte administration has already released 90% of this year's budget. Lagman adds the 8 billion pesos that Marcos allied lawmakers plan to save from postponing the December barangay and Sangguniang Kabataan elections has also been released to the COMELEC.
We are going to be cooperative as far as the minority is concerned in the formulation and adoption of this stimulus package. But we have to tell the people the real score, where to source the funds. They have to find or create new funds in order to fund this stimulus package. There are some assets of the government which can be disposed of. The military corp camps should also be disposed.
All right.
And that amount to a number of almost more than a billion, and possibly there are other assets, like for example the state universities and colleges have so many unused lands which can be disposed by the government.
Aside from lack of funding, a think tank says the proposed Bayan Bangon Muli stimulus bill also lacks pertinent details.
There's still no details with respect to what programs will be included in these projects, which sectors will be prioritized, how much the total budget for this will be. All that we're hearing so far is that they will try to save 8 billion pesos from postponing the barangay elections. It makes one wonder, is there really an economic strategy behind this yet? If we consider the fact that the executive, the presumptive president, Bongbong Marcos Jr., doesn't have an economic team yet. So who is Congress going to work with in terms of crafting first a comprehensive economic recovery strategy and better yet, a more detailed plan in order to implement that strategy?
The Visayas chapter of the Philippine Chamber of Commerce and Industry wants the minimum wage hike for Western Visayas workers deferred. Workers in the region are supposed to get a 55 to 110 peso wage increase beginning June 5th, but PCCI Visayas asserts the timing of the wage hike is off and they were not consulted about the matter.
First of all, this is highly abnormal na times. Indeed, is ang ila pag-process is as it normal times. For 2 days, we deliberated after that, tapos na, they send it.
But the Western Visayas Regional Wage Board insists the wage hike should be implemented since the last salary increase in the region was imposed back in 2019.
Yung appeal nila to the commission, hindi makapigil na pag-implement ng wage order unless they are going to post a superstitious fund or surety to satisfy the commission.
Well, it amount to millions, no? Because it will cover the amount to be paid to the workers, no?
Minimum wage hikes in Mimaropa and Soksarjen have also been approved by the regional wage boards. In Mimaropa, workers in private establishments will get 35 pesos more in their daily wages, raising the minimum wage rate to 329 pesos and 355 pesos for those working in companies with 10 or more employees. Meanwhile, private workers based in Soksarjen will receive their wage increase of 32 pesos in two tranches. This brings the new minimum wage rate in the region to 368 pesos for the non-agriculture sector and 347 pesos for agriculture, service, and retail establishments. A labor group is pushing for a 100 billion peso subsidy loan for micro, small, and medium enterprises to speed up the country's economy. Federation of Free Workers President Sani Matula says the recent wage hikes are not enough to boost the economy. He believes strengthening SMEs, which in turn would create more jobs, would bring more inclusive growth in the country. The group is also pushing for a national minimum wage to avoid discrimination. The Philippine Tax Bureau suspends the creation of special audit task forces, make that task forces, following an order from the Finance Department. This after a row between MegaWorld and the BIR, which sent an advisory on serving a closure order, only to suspend it immediately. The Finance Department said the order is meant to avoid confusion among taxpayers and prevent duplicated investigations. The task forces are now barred from operating until further notice. The BIR immediately followed the directive and also suspended special audits on online cockfighting and Philippine offshore gaming operators, or POGOs. Pump price adjustments are expected this week, and owners of gas-powered vehicles are getting the short end of the stick. Gas prices are expected to increase by up to 4 pesos and 50 centavos per liter, while diesel will shed up to 2 pesos and 50 centavos per liter. Kerosene prices will see nearly the same reduction. The price movements were attributed to the start of the driving season in America and easing lockdown curbs in China. World News Now, U.S. President Biden lands in Japan for the second leg of a trip to reinforce Washington's alliances in Asia. Biden is scheduled to meet with Japan's Prime Minister Fumio Kishida and unveil a U.S.-led trade initiative for the region Monday. Prior to Japan, Biden spent 2 days with South Korea's newly elected President Yoon Suk-yeol, where the pair discussed the expansion of joint military exercises amid the evolving threat from Pyongyang. Biden and Yoon also extended an offer of help to North Korea, which is dealing with a raging COVID-19 outbreak. Pyongyang has yet to respond. We're off to another break. More news when we return. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Back with more news and sports, the Golden State Warriors are a win away from returning to the NBA's biggest stage. The Dubs outlasted the Dallas Mavericks 109-100 to take a 3-0 series lead in the Western Conference Finals. Two-time MVP Steph Curry delivered the goods for the Warriors with 31 points and 11 assists, while teammate Andrew Wiggins had a career playoff high 27 markers. Luka Doncic had 40 points for Dallas, which now faces the task of coming back from an 0-3 deficit, something that has never been done before in NBA history. The Philippines finishes fourth overall in the medal tally of the Southeast Asian Games. Filipino boxers capped the last day of the events with more gold medals, courtesy of Yumir Marshall, Rogen Ladon, and Ian Clark Bautista. That's on top of the championship victory of the Gilas women's basketball squad. Unfortunately, their counterparts on the men's side failed to defend their title against Indonesia. Topping the medal tally this year is host country Vietnam, followed by Thailand and Indonesia in third.
Ang laki ng naging problema natin sa training, unlike other countries, no? Nagkaroon tayo kasi ng medyo mahigpit ang IATF, may mga EQ, MCEQ, GCQ, napunta sa level 1, level 2, level 3. Pero in spite of that, nakita mo naman ang mga deliveries, no? Nasurpass na natin.
Meanwhile, the Philippines has increased its gold medal haul to 52. Philip Delarmino has been declared the winner of the 57-kilogram men's event in Muay Thai after organizers sided with a protest launched by the Muay Thai Association of the Philippines. The Far Eastern University cheering squad ended a 13-year title drought in the UAAP cheer dance competition. The Adamson Pep squad placed second, while two-time defending champion NU Pep squad settled for third. The cheer dance competition took place for the first time since 2019, with the league's cheering squads performing shortened routines. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. A growing global initiative encourages everyone to give and take without anything in return. Jeffrey Arnaiz tells us about, or more about, this online community where things are really, really free.
From books to appliances, pre-loved clothes, shoes, and a variety of household items. All these and more you can get absolutely free. Courtesy of netizens from the fast-growing Facebook group Really Really Free Market. It was during the early pandemic when the first Facebook group, a product of the Really Really Free Market Global Initiative, was established.
Yung spirit talaga nung Really Really Free Market is just about sharing. Ganun ka simple. And dumami na yung mga hyper-local groups, which is the goal from the start naman.
We really want to share the blessings and avoid more trash going to our landfills.
The premise is simple. Members of the group post photos of usable items that they no longer need. Other members just need to type the word mine or tell the giver why they need the item in the comment section. No cash involved. The free item will be awarded to whoever the giver deems need it most. Through the online initiative, the group also aims to promote upcycling and sustainability.
Yung mga trash natin, it really goes to our landfills. So if we all want to care for our families, our children, diba, 30 years down the line, magiging masama na talaga yung mangyayari sa mundo natin, yung environment natin, there will be global warming, etc. So we want to help in our, you know, own way.
Really, Really Free Market Manila now has over 15,000 members, not including those from the hyper-local groups. From small household items, members now give away air conditioning units, strollers, furnitures, and even wedding gowns. The group hopes that more will join the online community of givers.
Gusto nilang makatulong instead of throwing away items when they declutter or let's say ayaw na nila yung item. No, just give it for free. Aside sa nakatulong sila sa may environment, nakatulong din sila dun sa may taong pagbibigyan nila.
The organizers hope to encourage more Filipino social media users to participate in the initiative and help create a community that looks out for each other all for free. Jeffrey Hernandez, ABS-CBN News.
A Downton Abbey sequel, a new action comedy, and a rom-com on Netflix. Manny the Movie Guy has what's new from Hollywood.
Before you were born,
a new era has dawned in the new Downton Abbey sequel. It's still as soapsy and sudsy as ever, but with British manners, of course.
I come into possession of a villa in the south of France.
This new film reunites the beloved class as they travel down the south of France to unravel the mystery of the Dowager Countess's newly inherited villa.
The British are coming.
While non-fans may admire the production design and the intriguing premise, this is made solely for the fans. The sequel is funnier and more adventurous than the first movie.
Doesn't look good for the part.
It's supposedly the last Downton film, but the sequel proves there's plenty more stories to mine for future Downton Abbey movies.
To discuss my mysterious past.
And for that, Downton Abbey, A New Era, gets 3 out of 4. Historical drama kisses. Also out in theaters, Emergency. Humor and thrills collide in the Sundance winner about 3 college students getting ready for a night of partying. But when they found a semi-conscious girl, they are faced with a hard question: to call or not to call the cops.
There's a conscious white girl in our living room.
What?
I thoroughly enjoyed Emergency. The comedy is sharp and its social observations are on point. The main cast is so likable that you will surrender with glee. Emergency is now out in select theaters and will start streaming on Amazon Prime next week. And for that, Emergency gets 3.5 out of 4 brilliantly funny kisses. And only on Netflix, a perfect pairing.
Oh, isn't it obvious? I'm quitting.
Victoria Justice is a go-getter LA wine executive who is forced to work at an Australian sheep farm in order to land a big client. Helping her is the rugged and mysterious Adam Demos as the ranch manager.
Yes. No.
The love of wine, or enophile, is at the heart of this film, and the emotions a specific wine can bring out. Justice and Demos make a perfect pair, and it's a perfect movie to watch on a lazy day. Like a fine wine, this one is sweet and rounded.
It's quite intoxicating.
Thank you so much. Good to see you again.
And for that, a perfect pairing gets 3 out of 4. What's your favorite wine? Kisses. I'm Manny the Movie Guy for ANC.
All right, to those waiting for the Congressman Remulla interview, our apologies. After agreeing to appear today, the congressman cannot be reached. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.